We've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly and to talk some racing. Don't forget, Clarkie's horse, race 4, number 11, on Saturday at Randwick. At the bottom of the weight's pretty wild. Cathy O'Hara rides from a soft draw. Barrier 2, $4.40. The word from the stable is that, you know, they're throwing it in the deep end.
Yep.
This is a big step up going from maiden grade to Saturday race in a benchmark 72. What a one on one! It's maiden over 1200, the 1300 metre race. So, but that's typical Chris Waller being quite circumspect.
Maybe.
Rarely declares anything.
Maybe. He's pretty honest, though, Chris.
Well, he had no idea how
Correct.
It was going to go on debut.
And he was honest about that as well. I don't think he'd be saying, he hasn't said, look, any horse can win. You boys know that better than anyone. But I think at the end of the day, he's saying, I think if you lower your expectation, it is a massive step up from its first race. And let's just see how it goes.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Clarkie, I did notice he had pretty wide on the nominations for Canterbury yesterday and decided to bypass that and head to Randwick on Saturday.
Yes, correct, buddy.
Must have some ability.
I'm thinking so, Jared. I'm thinking so.
Yeah, well, she won well, didn't she?
Mm.
First start. And didn't you say this morning that...
Well, we had a text saying that the horses that ran second and... I'll check this, but that ran second and third...
Have since come out and won.
To pretty wild on debut have come out, and I think they've run first and second. Beirut Misses run second, which was runner-up to pretty wild. And Glacier Queen, which ran third, won that race. So they've run 1-2 in the same race. The horses that were second and third behind Clarkie. There you go.
Pupster, he's not giving anything away.
You guys think I'm hiding information. I told you this before her first race. I was very honest. Actually, you read Chris's emails, on air. So it wasn't like I was making stuff up, and I'm doing exactly the same now. I'm giving you the truth. You don't trust me.
No.
I paraphrased.
What do you mean? You think I'm keeping my cards close?
Yes.
No, not at all.
Yep.
Do you want me to show you the email?
You're underplaying it because you don't want to come out and say that
she's
going to win.
No, that's not true either. If I thought she was a chance of winning, a big chance of winning, I would say it loud and proud.
Look, what he's really trying to say is it's the next Nature Strip, right? what's the latest with Nature Strip? What accolades is he achieving now?
Well, you know how much I love the international ratings, Jared. I've said that many times on this program, but I am genuinely keen to see what they come up with after his Kingspan win last week. So he's the second highest rated horse in the world at the moment before going into Royal Ascot there last week on 124 behind Bayeed, who won the Queen Anne, obviously, on the opening day of Royal Ascot as well. I'd imagine his rating after demolishing that field in the Kingspan Stakes will probably go up. So I think there's an outside chance he could be the highest rated horse in the world after the international panel of handicappers sit down and do their ratings after Royal Ascot, which was a massive feather in the cap for Chris Waller and the team, as well as Australian racing in general. So very keen to see what they come up with in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, there's a chance he could either join Bayeed or take over as the best horse in the world on ratings.
Tefani, what's the latest with her?
This surprised me, Jared. She's out of retirement in some respects. That one last campaign, remember she sold for that staggering sum up there at the Magic Millions Broodmare sale going back a month or so ago, $3.1 million. I think Mike Moroney virtually conceded that was the end of her racing career. But Yulong, the new owners of the horses, decided to keep her in work for one more race in preparation. So Mike will probably target, I'd imagine, a race like the Memsie Stakes at the start of the spring, which is a Group 1 in name. I don't know if it's a Group 1 really in substance, in my opinion, but there's another Group 1 there for her to pick up, hopefully at the start of the spring, and then she'll head to stud and obviously be served shortly after that. So I still think she's been probably one of the most underrated horses we've had in Australia for the last 2 or 3 years, and chance to have another Group 1, hopefully in a couple of months' time.
And, of course, Yulong doing the same with the Way Game as well, aren't they, Adam?
Yes, that's right, Jared. So they spent up big time up at the sales up there at the Gold Coast Broodmare. So I think, what did the Way Game get, Jared? $4 million, wasn't she? She was an enormous sum. So it's not uncommon to see this happen sometimes. Obviously, they get these mares to have a couple of starts before they be served in the spring for the breeding season. But I just thought, given the amount of money they'd spent, they'd probably just wrap them in cotton wool and get them ready for the breeding season. But no, they want to chase some more success on the racetrack.
What are you most looking forward to this weekend at Randwick?
The Civic Stakes Lodge is going to be the feature. We're deep into winter, aren't we, with this series of races, the Civic Stakes, we've head to the Winter Stakes and the Winter Challenge. Keen to see Maria Mia, this nice mare for the Joe Pride Yard. Obviously, he was trying to get her up to Brisbane for the Tats TR and qualify for there, but she couldn't quite pass the ballot or force her way into the field, given her rating. But she's been racing extremely well down here in Sydney, went up to the Group 2, the Dane Ripper up there at Queensland and raced well. And obviously, Bjorn Baker's bringing Battledon back from running so well up in the group race up there in Queensland as well. So they're the two horses I'm sort of focusing on at the moment for that Civic Stakes on the weekend. But no doubt Chris Waller will be strong again with the likes of Oscar Zulu and True Detective. But we are deep into winter racing at the moment, boys.
What's this Annabelle Neesham horse? Temahir.
I know, Jared. It's very keen to see how it lines up after coming from overseas. We're from America, obviously the one quiet trial there at Warwick Farm. And Annabelle, we know, can get these imports ready to go early in their careers down here in Australia. So I'll be watching the betting very, very closely for that race. Yep. If there's any late move there on the weekend, it's definitely going to be a horse to be respected.
Sire Wooden Bassett, five-year-old mares running Group 1s over in the States. Interesting runner indeed. And how are you feeling about Origin 2 a couple of days out?
Yeah, not too bad, Jared, not too bad. It's been a bit of spice to the build-up this year, isn't there, boys? Well, this game, I suppose. It was very quiet leading into Game 1, but I don't mind a bit of war of words. And Angus Crichton coming out the other day saying Felice Capuzzi should have got suspended and the referees lost. They're just in the headlines. They can't escape at the moment, can they?
No, which sort of worries me because the focus is on them too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's they're going to be crucified whatever they do. And if both teams are really going hard at the ruck and it becomes a penalty-a-thon, they're going to get criticised. And that won't be a great spectacle either, by the way.
No.
If we're, you know, nitpicking penalties and slowing the game down, we want an open game, but the players have to contribute to that as well. But again, you know, it's not every tackle that's slowed down. It's the ones that are more important than others.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, I hope that, we just get a good contest. If we get a fast game, I think it suits New South Wales.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good on you, mate. Have a good day.
See you, boys.